Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hi. And now, Jack, we are pleased to have with us a man who has known and served you for many years. He's the gentleman who makes out your income tax returns for you. Would you all please welcome Jack Benny's accountant, Mr. Foster Brooks. You can tell a lot about a man by his income tax return. And so I brought along Mr. Benny's latest tax return. I'm sure that Mr. Benny will not mind if I read a few things. All right. Now, Under income, we have $1,078,000. $1 million from nightclubs, television, concerts, and commerce. Commercial. And $78 from the return of empty soda bottles he collected in his neighborhood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the late Dean Martin and the late Foster Brooks making some fun about the late Jack Benny's income taxes. You may not know it, but all three of those megastars were murdered by agents of the Internal Revenue Service. Yeah, just kidding, of course. But I'm not kidding when I tell you that taxpayers have killed quite a few IRS agents. I wonder why. We'll explore that and many other burning questions tonight on Fair Tax Time Radio with your host, John Wesley Nobles. We welcome your calls at 619-393-6478. Or if you're charged for long distance, forget about it. We'll pick up the tab. Just dial 888-436-1206 and do what the lady say when you're connected. And now, say hello to Mr. John Wesley Nobles.
Bill, your introductions are getting better every week. I'm telling you, that's funny. And boy, does that bring back some memories, too, with Dean Martin and Foster Brooks and all this stuff, you know. And it's just, boy, I'll tell you, I kind of set up tonight's show a little bit. We went down this morning, and the Andy Lean, who's a fair tax worker up in the 8th Congressional District and a great volunteer, and Raul Rodriguez, who is with We the People Rising, and also he is a fair tax guy, and we've worked on many things together. A friend of ours who you are aware of, Bill, a gal that was a theater captain for us and was a guest on the show, Tressie Capps, was down there. She sent us an email yesterday and late in the afternoon gave us notification that they were holding what we call the sandbag meetings in San Bernardino, city of San Bernardino today, over proposed toll lanes. And these toll lanes are going to run right into our neighborhood. As a matter of fact, they're going to run on this proposed section of the freeway up the Interstate 15 from Riverside up to a town of Hesperia at the 395 turnoff, about 35 miles. Well, the Indians are restless, and they don't want any part of toll lanes, toll roads, toll anything, because they're up to their eyeball sockets and taxes, fees, tolls, all amount to the same thing. And so we had a good group of people that we're familiar with that showed up. Tressie Capps kind of orchestrated it and got a, because of her message, thank goodness, late yesterday got us out, and we brought people in from lots of areas that had an interest. Raymond Herrera, Raul Rodriguez, Deanne, Tressie Capps. We had Raymond Herrera again, and what a great job he did. And so hopefully, you know, all of these folks are like we are. They want to get rid of this government intrusion, and we're tired. We've been taxed enough already, and as I told our employees down here in the sandbag board, that we're taxed enough already, and we're here to take effective action. So this would kind of fit right in with Paul Hanisch's comments tonight on inflicting political pain. And I think Paul and the rest of us, we champion those that support us, and we support them, such as our sponsor, Rob Woodall, who does a magnificent job and put out a great video for us the other day, and Steve King and 74 co-sponsors and the people in the Senate, and we're blessed and thankful that they're on our side. But we have opponents, and some of these opponents, Bill, as you know, they get their facts confused. As a matter of fact, they're not facts. And they attack because they want to maintain the status quo, which happens to be, in our case, our cause is getting rid of the federal income payroll taxes and the IRS. Well, they don't want to get rid of the IRS or the taxes because they sell tax favors. So there are opponents. And I hope when Paul gets on, we're going to talk about we've made enough nice already, and it's time to inflict some political pain on those folks that want to maintain the status quo and keep doing business as usual. What we're alluding to here is that they don't want to change, and they don't care what we the people, the most discriminated group in the country, U.S. taxpayers, it's not blacks, browns, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Poles, or anybody else. It's the U.S. taxpayers that are really being had in this country, and they seem to think that we have deep pockets that go forever, and we have this supply of money that we can shell out to the government, and that's at all levels, state, federal, local, and there's no end to it. And so I'm sure that when Paul comes on, he'll get into that. By the way, has he called in yet?
I do have him on our switchboard here. I sure do. At least I recognize the number as his.
And well, I can, let's bring him on and let's get going, because Paul has a tremendous, you know, he's been a great advocate for Fair Tax. I want to say that to start off with. Paul, we introduced him to Fair Tax, or I should say I did, probably a little over a year ago, and he wasn't too sure about it at the beginning, and then he got into it, and he's been a great, great advocate. He's been very, very outspoken and a real true supporter, and ran his congressional campaign on Fair Tax, being the centerpiece of his campaign, and did a marvelous job. And I have the highest regard for Paul Hanisch. He's an educator. He's a real patriot. He gives an awful lot of himself for country, community, and those around him, and I'm really honored to have him as a friend, and very, very pleased for the work he does for Fair Tax. So, you know, we could go on about Paul Hanisch for literally hours with all the things that he does.
What else can I say? I can say that a lot of people or a lot of companies and a lot of organizations would call him a 90-day wonder. You know, because inside of 3 months, this man was a superstar, and he still is. So, and we love him for that. And so I will bring him on. I'm going to push his little red button here. Paul, do we have you there with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just listening. John, you can go on.
Okay, well, thank you, Paul. Listen,
I love it. John, you know, I can say the same thing about you, and it's just been a blessing since I did meet you and you reached out to me and educated me about the Fair Tax. And it was a centerpiece of my campaign, still is. I'm still a firm believer in the Fair Tax, and I believe we're going to make it happen. Things are moving in the right direction. We're seeing, you know, movies being made featuring Fair Tax, Unfair, the movie. Great movie, by the way. And we need to keep the momentum moving in our direction, and that's what tonight's all about. We want to talk about how we can make our message not just respected, but we want to make sure that we're heard and that we're empowering our message with force to back it up. You know, we've done the education route. Now we're going for the jugular. We're going to make it happen.
Well,
and
Paul,
you know, the problem is that we're making mistakes. You know, we've made mistakes along the way. I made mistakes in my campaign. I've learned a lot. It's been kind of a university experience running a campaign. And so I've learned a lot, and I want to help your audience members learn from my mistakes and see how, what they can do to improve getting our message out there and making Fair Tax a reality.
Paul, I'm going to just jump in real quick. Going down to the city of San Bernardino this morning, I had your alma mater with me in my car. And I had this morning Deanne DeLean and Raul Rodriguez. And when I got to San Bernardino, I ran into Raymond Herrera. Everybody attended your Liberty training course, which I have to tell you, it's a great course. When you do it again, I want to repeat it. I think that there's more that you can gain from it the second time. And boy, share as much as you can in the time that we have tonight. I'll tell you, folks, you're in for a real treat. The stuff that Paul will share with you tonight is just incredible.
Well, thank you, John. I want to give your listeners my email if they want to contact me. I can give them notes to this discussion tonight, as well as some opportunities. There's going to be two classes coming up, just like the one we went to, one-day leadership trainings in San Marino and also in, I believe it's Chatsworth, but those are coming up on the 18th and 19th of April. So my email is phannosh@yahoo.com. That's P-H-A-N-N-O-S-H. And just feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll get you in touch with the Campaign for Liberty and the one-day training. It's $40, money well spent, so that we don't just keep doing the same mistakes over and over again, and we start seeing success in our political efforts. We don't want to waste your time. And, you know, we want to make you a force multiplier by using these tactics, which, by the way, are based on confrontation theory and the idea that a small, tireless minority can affect great change. We saw that with the American Revolution, and where, you know, the estimate is 3% of the American people were actively involved in making the American Revolution happen and affected that 97% of the population for the better. And so this may shock some of your audience members, but we need to look to the left, the tactics of the left, because that's what works. And, you know, why, you might ask? Because we want to be effective like the left. They know how to get results. And if you want to see what doesn't work, look at what the right does to affect politics. It's not effective. And so tonight this discussion is not for the thinking impaired or the faint of heart. And I'm going to challenge you to think outside your comfort zone. And we're looking for some good men and women out there who are tired of losing at politics and ready to start winning. And we can't do it by continuing what we have been doing. What we're going to have to do is recalibrate and think about it like this. What is politics? Politics is about who rules over whom. Bottom line, that's what it's all about. And you need to stop thinking about these, you know, romantic visions of serving your country and God and community. Politics is about who rules over who. And it's basically better to be feared and respected than to be loved but ignored. And so how do we do that? Well, the unions understand how to do this, and they do it effectively. And, you know, if you listen, if you look at 95% of the activists out there, John, you and me, we've made mistakes, and we settle for access to politicians rather than being able to control the politicians by making their lives a little uncomfortable and painful. And we're going to talk about that tonight, what exactly that entails. How do we get under their skin? How do we get them to do what we want them to do? Because you may not realize this, but all politicians are very predictable in what they're going to do. They follow a script, pretty much, to become politicians. And so if we can, you know, figure out their psyche, we can get in their head, and we can make life tough for them if they don't do what we want. And the good news is about American politics, and John, you've been a veteran of American politics for years, and, you know, I'm sure you've gone through the same ups and downs as I have, you know, that this presidential candidate or this candidate is going to change everything if we get him, just get him elected. And then we get him elected, and nothing happens. Because the biggest problem in American politics is inertia, trying to get something moving. And, you know, right now with the fair tax, we're seeing things moving in the right direction. You know, your Pop Fox march on D.C., huge, huge success. That's exactly the kind of things that we want to be seeing happening. By the way, do you have any current results or data to share with us about the march on D.C.?
Well, Paul, I do, and we are moving right along. And let me pull up some up-to-the-minute numbers here, if I may. And we're very, very happy with the way we're going. Nancy Kesey, who is really a real advocate of Pop Box, and myself included, and others, we are reflecting back to last year at this time. I think, you know, we had exposure to Pop Box right at the beginning, just about 4 years ago, and they're going into their fifth year here pretty soon. And so we had, as fair taxers, had tried Pop Box a little, and then, you know, we didn't see it all the way through, and we put it up on the shelf and forgot about it. And then last year, you know, Paul, we customarily do some kind of an event or anything, and we hadn't done a local event. Matter of fact, we went up to an event that they did up in Barstow because we hadn't planned an event, and I felt kind of empty-hearted, if you know what I mean. I wasn't doing my duty. I wasn't doing enough. So I thought I would rally some of my friends on Facebook and Twitter and see what I could do to get them to go and vote on Pop Box, where the world would see their position on the bill, how they supported it. And it wasn't just like sending a fax or a snail mail letter to Cook's office or whoever their congressman happened to be, that congressman and their staff would get it. And so would all those folks that had an interest in the bill. And plus the fact that once they wrote their statement, which is not boilerplate, everybody writes their own comments, they quantify and magnify because of that. And in addition, their comments are recorded in the Library of Congress. So we leave a footprint in the sand, if you will, on the beach, and we leave a recorded history of what we're doing. Well, we haven't done that with Fair Tax before. We haven't had the computer platforms until Pop Box came along, and they've been very good for us. Matter of fact, this year, after Rob Woodall introduced the bill on January 6th, we had over 1,100 bills that were introduced into Congress almost right away. And H.R. 25, I am proud to say, was the top bill as far as voting on Pop Box. We are currently in nationwide at 96% of those folks that have weighed in. That means since January the 6th over, I'll have to go to a trending line because I don't think this is up to speed here, over 2,839 individual letters have been written on the House Resolution 25. I'm proud to report that. Now, that's 96% of those coming from the nation. Here in California, 96, a blue state, by the way, not we're a nonpartisan bill, but a lot of people say well, you're not going to do anything because you're in California. 96% of those polled in California support fair tax. Our district, I am proud to say, and I was hoping that Paul Hannis might be our next congressman here, the 28th district, 100% of those polled in our district support H.R. 25, the fair tax. So we're moving right along, and we're starting through the efforts of our current state leader, Ken Smith, Dr. Ken Smith. We are starting on telephone calls. We have telephone banks. We're going to be calling thousands of Californians that have expressed an interest in the fair tax, and we hope to get people up and on the site and get them engaged. We know that, you know, everybody isn't retired like I am or a number of us, and they can't go to Sacramento or maybe they can't go to Washington, D.C., but they're home, they have a computer or a smartphone. They can go on this march with us right from the comfort of their home or their office and be heard, and they will be heard in Washington. So I'm pleased to say that we're moving right along. We have a lot to do. As Rob Woodall says, this is what we call a dinner table bill. You know, it's not going to be the people on the Hill that are going to do this on their own volition because, as Paul Hannis will tell you later, most of the folks on the Hill, I call it the sausage factory at Disneyland on the Potomac, also known as Washington, D.C., they want to continue to sell tax favors, and that means they want to keep an income tax. And, of course, we want to do away with taxing federal taxation of income and payroll and to do away with the IRS. So we have a conflict of visions. They are going to do the voting. We're going to have to let them know that we have sufficient numbers, and if they don't vote in accordance with our wishes, after all, they do work for us, we're their employers, we do have the power to fire them. And so anyhow, that's where we are right now, Paul, and I really appreciate you bringing that up because Pop Box is a good vehicle, and we're happy to use it. Back to you.
Yeah, it's a great vehicle. It's free. And it's relatively easy, and, you know, the staffers in Washington pay attention to that. You know, this is how our political system works. You know, we put pressure on them. We, you know, give them feedback on what's important to us, and we follow that up, you know, with our activists like you and I and other fair tax activists and say, hey, Congressman Cook, why aren't you on board with fair tax? What are you, crazy? Everyone in your district is crazy about fair tax based on this Pop Box polling. And so, you know, we need that. We need that support from the grassroots. And then folks like you and me that have can get to these politicians and meet with them. We're also working on meeting with Representative Steve Knight, the new congressman in the 25th district. He says he's anti-establishment. I want him to prove it by voting for co-sponsoring fair tax as well as audit the Fed. We know that the two are intertwined. And so, you know, the good news is that our American political system allows peaceful settlement of issues, you know, that we may disagree with. In other countries, we see how they deal with disagreements, you know, with the bayonet and with bullets. But here, we have a relatively, not excessively corrupt system, and we can work it. We just have to know how it works in order to work it. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight, give you the details, the nitty-gritty of our political system. And, you know, the system works, but just not the way you were taught. So tonight we're going to play to win and not waste anyone's time. Now, the big lie in politics is, you know, that we have to give blind allegiance to a political party or their candidates, and we have to work super hard to, you know, for the party or for the cause or whatever. You know, tonight we're going to talk about working smarter, not harder. And, you know, get to the bottom line here is that 90% of politics is boring. It's the fundamentals of politics. That's what builds champions. And that's what Pop Fox is partly all about. You know, we have to get our people out there supporting the issues and then using that to kind of batter down these politicians and say, hey, look, you know, you vote against this or you don't support us, we're gonna kick you out of office. And in politics, the side that is able to activate and mobilize the most activist wins. And that's what we're all about. Just like a baseball game. When you practice the basics, you get better, and eventually you start winning. Now, we've learned a lot from our mistakes, and now we're ready to move on. Because in politics, it really is a zero-sum game. You either win or you lose. And we're tired of losing. Time to start winning. So, you know, there's basically two different avenues that we can take in politics. There's the direct path versus the indirect path. The direct path is what I tried in running for Congress in the 8th Congressional District. Very difficult, and, you know, I don't recommend it as the best way to get what you want. There's more effective ways, and that would be the indirect path. The indirect path involves controlling the environment of those who are in control, the elected officials. And what we need to be is an agent of conflict on the outside and putting pressure on the politicians to do the right thing. And you know these people who control the politicians, it's the unions and the mainstream media. But you know what? It could be you. But we have to beware of some dangers out there. We have to make sure that we're not confusing power with access. There's a difference. And if you confuse the two, you might as well go home because you're not going to be effective in politics. That's one of the ploys that the politicians use to throw you off their trail and to get you to become ineffective. So these are some distractions that we don't want to waste our time on in politics. One of them is educating politicians. And, you know, the politicians, if we could just explain to them how important fair tax is, that, you know, they would come our way and vote our way. Well, that's not true. You know, pro-life people feel, you know, if they could just get the politicians to understand that it's a baby, that they'll start fighting to end abortion. But it's just not true. And, you know, the media is not always our friend. And it's what I like to call the crack of politics, trying to use the media to get our message out there. That's not that effective either. Now, in my case, John, you reached out to me. You mentioned earlier in the show that you educated me about the fair tax, and that's important. We do need to do that. But there was more to it than that. You know, I was looking for something at the time. It was perfect timing. But with most politicians, unless they're already on board, they're not going to come our way. And there's a current congressman here in the 31st district that you may know of, and I asked him. He asked for a donation. I said, so tell me what your position is on fair tax and audit the Fed. And his response was, I'm open to both. And that is what a good politician does to throw you off their tail. They don't want to be nailed down to committing to a position. I'm open to both. What does that mean? That's a lot of wiggle room in there. If they say I support it and they put it in writing, then we know that we have our man there. But we can't let the politicians get off the hook. They need to either be for us or against us. Now, blogs, they're a waste of time as well because, you're not going to change anyone's minds. Most of the people that read those blogs, they're already agreeing with you for the most part, or they just want to disagree with you. Unless you're going to be a consultant or something like that, blogs are not going to change the world. Now, another distraction that we have to be on guard for is listening to the advice of politicians. Whenever a politician gives you advice, you always have to ask them one question. And do you know what that one question is, John?
Let me think. I'm going to go back to our training. Probably why.
Yeah, what's in it for them? How does it benefit? Because really, they're just trying to manipulate us. So we need to ignore the advice of most politicians because they have an ulterior motive. And the lamestream media is our enemy. Ignore them. They're going to waste our time. These are all giant time sucks, and we need to avoid them. And we need to ignore our enemies. The media will try and tell us, GOP, Republicans, you need to support immigration reform if you want to win. Well, what's in it for them? That's what they want. They want us to cave in on all of our platform issues that are important to us. So they have an ulterior motive. Don't listen to the media.
Right, you
now,
are.
We also have to beware of people within our own groups that are critics and complainers and whiners, because they're just going to derail our goals and waste our time. So you have to kind of weed out the party boobers and people who just aren't in it. Their heart's not in it. They just don't get it. And they just want to complain and get you to follow some other rabbit trail. Now, we know as fair tax advocates, one of the biggest threats to America is our Treasury and the IRS and the Federal Reserve. And they're much bigger than Al-Qaeda or Russia or any other threat to our country, because it goes right to the financial stability of our nation. And we see the problems in the near horizon that will befall us if we don't change, and change soon. But when we try to explain this to politicians, it doesn't cause them to change. Because you just think of how many friends or family members when you get together that you've persuaded to come over to your side, that were opposed to you at one time. In my case, very few, not many. So educating the general populace is also not one that is going to be effective. Now, what is effective is getting the political establishment to fear you, and then you'll be respected. Now, how do we do that? There's two theories on indirect power. How do we get control over these politicians? One of them is trying to educate the public. And, John, I know we've done this. We've tried to educate the public, the general public, You know, if we could just get them to understand our situation, they'd be persuaded. But, you know, look at some of the issues out there that are very popular with the people, yet they don't get any change out of the political establishment, you know, and with regards to right to work. 70% of the American people support voluntary union membership, yet what happens? Most union workers, or most workers in this country, live under the threat of forced union dues. We just can't educate our way out of this. The unions have too much control over the politicians. They're too effective, and there's not enough opposition to them. And that's why something wildly unpopular like that, we can't kill it. You know, same thing with Obamacare. That was wildly unpopular, yet, you know, it got forced on us. The federal bailouts, that was another thing. It wasn't supported by the people. It was supported by Wall Street, and they control our politicians. Same thing with taxes. So trying to educate the general public, that's a losing cause. That's not where it's at. Now, what we can do that is effective is to mobilize. And PopVox is one way to do that. Having a petition and circulating that petition and giving it to the particular congressmen or senators and showing them the support that you have for fair tax, that's a good thing. That's effective. And following that up with money, asking for money. It's a funny thing, John. You know, when you see a petition and the petition also asks you for a donation, then people take it more seriously. And that's one of the things, you know, we in the right as well as on the left, activists, we're all underfunded. And without money, without people, you're doomed to failure. You have to have those things. You don't need a lot, but you do need, you know, some people, some staff to make things happen. And fortunately here with Fairtax, we have some very good people like yourself and Mr. Smith and others throughout the state organizing people and getting our base focused. And so that's why we're able to affect the political establishment, because we do have some money and some staff and some organization. But in order to control the politician's environment and control the power, mobilization of people and confrontation with the politicians is where it's at. The real power is forcing politicians to act the way you want or replacing them. And that's one of the things that I tried to do. And that's another strategy, is challenging a politician who opposes your views, opposes your positions in a primary. And when I did that, it had a huge impact on Paul Cook. He had to re-strategize his campaign. He had to start listening more to the people. Prior candidate who he ran against said that Paul Cook ran a much more effective campaign against me than he did against him. He was out there campaigning twice as hard because he feared me. And that's a good thing. You want the politicians to fear you. Otherwise, they're not going to do what you want. So,
hey, Paul?
Yes, sir.
This is Bill. If I could interrupt just for a moment there, or for a few minutes here. We've got a ton of people on the phone waiting, and several of them have been there since the beginning. But more so than that, I wanted to let John know also we have our friends from California there who, I guess you saw them earlier today in all the ruckus. I recognize their numbers. Raymond Herrera is on the line with us, and Robin Vitson. If I can bring them on, we'll do a little what do you call it, intermission here, if we could, and have them bring us up to date what's going on, and then we'll get back with Paul here just in a few minutes.
Well,
I'm going to put...
Yeah. Bill, yeah, these are Raymond and Robin, and some of these people are former students of Paul Hanisch's, so they know Paul, and they practice what he taught us. And, any objection to that, Paul? We bring on some of your former students?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to see if they've learned
if they remember.
One of my final messages to them, and that was, it's a beautiful day in California. What can I do to mess things up?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
I just want to make
Raymond
sure
Raymond did a great job of that.
Yeah, he's good.
There, with these politicians pushing illegal immigration.
I think you'd be proud of us when you see the videos from this morning, Paul. I really do.
Well, I saw the videos where he disrupted the congressman from Illinois there at USC.
Luis
Gutierrez.
Yes.
that would endear you to somebody for sure. Well, before his battery goes down like it did last time, let me bring on Raymond. I'm going to click his little red button there, and I'm also going to click Robin's red button. And
my
so both
people.
You, Robin and Raymond, are both on with us there. Do you hear us all right?
Well, hello,
Robin.
John.
Yes,
go
hello,
ahead.
Hello,
this is Robin.
Raymond. Hello, Robin.
Hi.
God bless you. I'm glad you're with us. These people are like family to me, Bill. What a great group of patriots. What a great group of activists. They are out there. They're where the rubber meets the road every day of the week. These folks have fire in the belly. These are the people I like to hang with.
Thank you. Anyway,
well,
Paul, it's nice to hear you reach out to the people and everything, and you too, John, and Robin Vincent, of course. And where do we want to go from here? I would like to comment on a few things that you were speaking to earlier, if it's okay with everybody. And the main thing is with the politicians, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, like you were stating and everything. But, you know, I want you to think about one thing about public opinion, you know, and I want you to think about the Federalists, and I want you to think the Federalists became the Democrats. And they believed in debt and credit, you know, and expanding, you know, the deficit, you know, creating situations for the money people to come in, finance, you know, and it kind of left the people out in the cold. And Madison, the Republicans, Madison and Jefferson believed in public opinion as the harness to limited government. That public opinion was the one tool that the people could use to unite and bring forth change. And truly, if you looked at today, you know, public opinion has been something that Robin Vincent, especially, and I have honed and worked on for over 11 years. And I would like to point out at this point in time that a lot of politicians have been voted out of office. A lot of bills or proposed bills have been derailed. And it's all done through public opinion. And that's something that I learned, I can say, in 11 years, that the strength, the power of public opinion is the voice, the will, and the mandate of the people, the governed. And it is the tool that Madison believed would harness the government and keep it within the realm of the people where we govern, where, like you were saying, Paul, they get up there and they do what they want. And that's cronyism. And this is what Madison and Jefferson thought of that, was that these people are supposed to be up there to legislate at their leisure, uninterrupted, undeterred in their final goal. And if you look at Washington today and all levels of government, it's all, you know, it's all done by factionism, special interests, moneyed people against public opinion, you know, so that when you look at immigration, you have to look at who you're fighting. You're fighting Republicans, Democrats, and independents that are elected into office because they're representing their cronies. You know, like one will say, well, it's Republicans who won't pass immigration reform. You know, and they blame it on the Republicans, and the Republicans blame it on the Democrats. But it's not them that's stopping it. It's the public opinion that Robin Vincent has honed over 11 years. The masses across this nation, along with Raymond, you know, to their feet. That's why you see Tea Party, you see Oath Keepers. When Robin and I first started, there was nobody standing in the street. And now, you know, when you look across, I mean, everybody's, you know, sounding off, and everybody's got their issues that, you know, we're all working on. But what are we working on? We're working on bringing the reins of government back into the control of the people. And the way that we're going to do it is through public opinion. And to that note, I'm going across America starting probably the late part of April to raise the awareness and the hair on the back of the neck of the American people through public opinion. And I have a few other tricks up my sleeve that bring these politicians, these tyrants, because they're all the tyrants, it's a coalition of tyrants in the Senate and in the House. There's people there like Trey Gowdy, Sessions, that we don't even have to address them because they're with us. I'm talking about those that vote for a bill because they're Democrats, and they don't do it at their leisure, you know, the way they should be doing it. In fact, when you look at immigration reform, Robin and I have battled it 11 years, you know, and America, and we've turned it back through public opinion and pressuring the body politic. But when you really look at the bills that are brought forth, like health care, Pelosi said to the nation, we'll read it later, after they signed it and passed it. After Reid held, you know, the Senate hostage. Okay, so then when you look at immigration reform, the same thing. The Senate came out with a bill. It's not their business. You know, it belongs in the House. But let's say that the Senate came out with the bill, okay? And, you know, everybody knows that bill. But guess who wrote it? They're staff members that just got out of, you know, the university that are idealistic, politically speaking. They don't even know how to tie their shoes. And they go to a broiler room, and they write up the bills that they don't even know, don't even have a consensus as to what the substance is. And then they present it to their senator. And then the senator goes to the podium, and look at the senator, how well-versed he is. He has to read it. He has to read the words written by a speechwriter to the American people. Okay? And then that's not right either, because, first of all, we elected him at his leisure with his forethought and the people, you know, in mind to legislate a bill and craft a bill with his colleagues, not Republicans or Democrats, the elected body politic. And they're supposed to do it on behalf of the American people, legislate on behalf of the American people. But what we have going here is, you know, like I just explained, the staff members write up the bills, they shove it up to the senators and the congressmen, and they're told by Boehner or Reid how to vote. Democracy is denied. It's subverted. So the difference between our politicians today at all levels and Thomas Jefferson and Madison, they were worldly people. They were well-versed in all facets of life, in culture, in arts, in science. Our politicians, they're just up there to collect the paycheck, the legacy, and the retirement. And they could care less about what the people want, or public opinion, or democracy. But with that said, anybody else have anything to say?
Yeah, you know, I love what you're doing, Ray. You know, and you really typify what we need to be doing, and that is being extreme in our positions, because it's the extremes on the right and the left that pull this mushy middle. The politicians in Washington, one way or the other, they're getting a lot of pressure, like you said, from the lobbyists.
Yeah, and let me interject here. I think the most extreme or the extremist is Robin Vincent. And, you know, it's like she's been my associate for 11 years. I'm telling you, there's a person right there, a true American patriot to be reckoned with, and she takes it to the extremes. Go ahead.
Well, we need a force to stop this pull of the politicians like Boehner to the center. They always want to go back to the center. And the more effective we are, Tea Party activists and other conservatives and on the right, to pull that those politicians to our side, and the more able we're able to inflict political pain like we did with Mr. Cantor and taking him out, that gives us real credibility, real street cred with the politicians, and then they start to listen and they start to fear us. And so for politicians, pain is something that makes them look bad. And so if you can, you know, disrupt one of their meetings and embarrass them, you know, by challenging them, because they're not used to being challenged by the people. They're used to being, you know, looked up to and idolized. They're, most politicians are nice guys, and they want to maintain that decorum. But if you can shout them down and, you know, get them to run away like you did, then that makes them look bad, makes them look cowardly. And
yeah,
so,
and you know, Robin, you should weigh in what happened with Laura or whatever, because Paul's, you know, actually speaking about what you did and the consequences of what happened, you know, were, you know, what he did to you. Tell the people what happened.
Okay. First of all, I would just like to very briefly, if you don't mind, talk about an event that John was at and Raymond was at with the 31st District staff members, Pete Aguilar. A few weeks ago, we went into Pete Aguilar's Rancho Cucamonga office. We didn't have an appointment. We were there about the Obama amnesty bill. And our group went in. It was standing room only. And we had a Washington, D.C. staffer in with us. And Raymond and John, we all spoke very well. But here's the interesting thing. That Washington, D.C. staffer was terrified by what went on in that room. And here's a very interesting consequence. Pete Aguilar's website was all pro-illegal. He had just done a rally that week in San Bernardino with illegals. Everything switched. There's now, he did a editorial about business. He's talking like a Republican now. All those pro-illegal pieces that were on his website are gone. So that meeting that we held, John and Raymond and our group, we happened to have the Washington Insider there. I think we scared the wits out of them, and now he's done, because he fears us. He's done a switch in his rhetoric, in his public rhetoric. That doesn't mean he's changed politically, but we had a victory in that we really got him to change his tune.
Awesome.
Oh, he was there for this morning,
too. That's
exactly
what you need to do. Make their lives uncomfortable so they can't keep spouting the same nonsense.
Exactly.
They can get away with that. To be some consequences for bad behavior. And when you're supporting illegal activity and no one calls you on it because us conservatives, we just want to play nice and be polite.
Yeah.
And that's our biggest death knell. That's why we're not effective.
Yes.
Because we're not willing to force the other side to act and control their environment and make things uncomfortable for them. Now, the unions, I don't know if you recall this, but you know, they gave Schwarzenegger, who's you know, very much a centrist, not even a conservative, but when he started pushing conservative issues, the unions followed him and made his life miserable until he finally caved and just gave up on his reforms for the unions. And so if we can, you know, create a cadre of our own in-your-face act to go out there and harass them, basically, for, you know, being jerks and making them feel like jerks, which is, you know, part of the problem. They don't think they're jerks. They think they're doing a good thing. And but when they see angry voters like yourselves getting in their face and confronting them, that makes them look bad. And so you've just inflicted some real political pain on them and forced them to rethink their ways.
Let me jump in here, Paul. You guys are doing such a, terrific job. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, the folks that are on Fair Tax Time Radio right now are disruptors and chiefs, all of them. And it's such an honor and a privilege to stand with Robin and Raymond and Paul, and we can go on. And if you guys don't mind, I am sure that we have a lot of our other supporters and people that work very, very hard on We the People Rising, Fair Tax, and, you know, we're not one-dimensional folks. We're constitutionalists, and I would bet that we have a number of those folks on the line. I know Tressie Capps was there this morning, Deanne Deleen, a lot of folks talked out this morning, and I was just so proud of what they had to say. Bill Payne, do you have any Southern Californians on the line that might be our comrades and helpers there?
Let's see. Actually, I do have one number that I don't recognize from the 760 area code.
Sure.
Whoever it is does not have their hand up. Which, by the way, while I'm talking about that, if you're on the phone and you'd like to speak, you can press 1 on your telephone that lights up my switchboard and says, "Hey, this joker wants to say something." So,
hallelujah.
At any rate, this unknown person from the 760 area code, I'm going to activate your line. You're from the 962 exchange. Is John talking about you? Who do we have and where are you calling from? Pardon? Who do we have and where are you calling from, please? 760 area code 962 exchange.
Maybe they don't want to talk, Bill. That Could sounds
be.
Like somebody in my family.
Could be. I don't recognize the number.
There you go.
So anyway, we'll put them back on hold. And otherwise, other than that, I do recognize a few of the other numbers that we have, and I'll be glad to bring them on. As far as Southern California, if you want to call yourself Southern California, we do have our good friend Deanne Deleen on the line. I just activated her little red button. What do you say, Deanne?
Okay. Paul, I tried to shame the supervisors in San Bernardino County today. I'm not that great of a speaker right now, but I told them that I also spent 47 years eating out of the public trough because I was a teacher, but I also told them that I was warned by my relatives, you better be the best teacher you could be if you're going to be in the public service. And I said, I shamed them by, and I said, I'm also now taking from the public trough because I'm retired. But I, you know, right now I'm retired and I am trying to give back because I am getting a good retirement from education. But I also told them that if they want to raise their salaries, get out of the public sector and go to the private sector and become something like a CEO or something where you can get a high salary. But they took the job because you cannot get fired that easy from a public job. And it makes it easier, and that's the perks you get. But stop taking all the people's taxes. That's what I was trying to do. I don't know if I got across to them, but that's what I was trying to do. Thank you.
Well, Deanne, before you go, you said I look funny up there, and I don't know what
I wasn't
trying to be the town clown, but if anybody could tell me what I did was funny, I'll try to do it again.
Okay, I don't know if Raul's on the phone or not. Is Raul on?
Okay.
No,
We're not X-rated here, but go ahead and tell us, Deanne.
Okay. What he was trying to do was let the people know that he wasn't a techie. He's getting older. He wasn't raised to be a techie. And he went through the toll road, and he called and tried to get results from him so he could pay the toll. And I think he said he spent 58 minutes on the line, then they reversed him back to the email or whatever it was, and he got fed up and said he'd call again another day. Well, since he was a senior citizen, he forgot about it until the bill came in the mail and you got fined, I think you said $140 or something like that.
That's right.
And that's what
that's
cracked
right.
everybody up, the way he was telling it, because he wasn't a techie and he was a senior citizen and he forgot. And that's what everybody was giggling about.
Well, yeah, that was my point with the sandbag members there, is that they merely look at us as a revenue stream. And this
mm-hmm.
is a scheme. This toll thing is a scheme. They took away toll booths on the Bay Bridge, and maybe Ken Smith is probably on the line. He can share that up in Northern California. These are schemes. They've made it exceedingly difficult to use their website. Matter of fact, you get on the toll roads, you can't get off. You're a captive. And all of the many of the Garmins and GPS devices will get you right on these toll roads. You can't get off. There's no way to pay. You try to call their number. You may spend hours before you talk to a human being. And when you do, they'll send you back to a website that doesn't work half the time. Just praying that you for maybe a $7 toll, so they can zing you for $140 or $150. And that was
well, John,
my point.
You know, I had that same experience. I wound up on a toll road by accident, and then I got off. I saw a sign that said, hey, you know, if you want to pay this toll, you can go online and do this. And it was a big hassle. And I wound up paying late, and they forgave the penalty. But still, you're right. This is a shakedown. And
it is.
The politicians that push toll roads, these are the kind of politicians that we need to inflict pain upon and
hallelujah.
Get them out of office, because
amen.
We've already paid for these roads.
I don't want to rent them back. I don't want to rent back what I already own.
We pay the highest sales tax on our gasoline in any other state, and we have the second worst roads in the country because they're using it for other purposes. They need to spend that money on our roads. They don't need to be charging us tolls on top of that. You know, only New Jersey has worse roads than California. And,
go ahead.
They bury bodies underneath the road over there.
Let me weigh in here, guys. Like, when I spoke, you know, and Orange County is a good example. You know, America is being sold out from underneath us. Orange County has toll roads, and the nightmares you just spoke of are true. But the Chinese own it. The Chinese own those roads. Okay, so that's on American soil. The rest of us are cramped into, you know, so many lanes, but that toll goes to China. The Chinese own American soil. And like what you were saying, we've already paid for these roads. And seed money is going to come from where? V5? You know, people that, millionaires, multimillionaires that buy into our cities because, you know, they got money and they're given, you know, a visa to bring their families and bring their businesses and invest in America. Well, that's the selling of America. Or getting seed money from the Chinese to build that toll road. Okay, that's selling out what our fathers fought for in World War II. And it constricts the lanes to the other people. But that money is split between, like, you know, Sandbag and the Chinese or whoever's going to invest. We can't allow our politicians to pass legislation that sends our factories offshore, or that sells American soil to the highest bidder, or even, you know, our university seats that are given away by politicians. We can't allow this to go forward.
And that gets back to our discussion today. How do we inflict pain on these politicians that are selling us out, shaking us down, and refuse to pass good legislation like fair tax? Now, one of the things that we can do is give them bad press, you know, talking to reporters outside of their press conferences, publicly embarrassing them like you guys did with the congressman from Illinois.
Robin.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And denouncing them, you know, putting out press releases as an organization, denouncing, you know, the shakedown of these tolls, and challenging them, especially in primaries, you know, putting out, even if you don't win, you're really making their life miserable, because if they could sit through a primary without being challenged, you know, they love that. They can hang out with their family and enjoy life, but you got to make their lives difficult.
Right you are, Paul. Right you are. If I can jump in real quickly, you said something earlier, and ironically, we were talking about this on the trip home in the car, and I'm sure Raymond and Robin and a lot of us have talked about this, and all of us here in Southern California are real familiar with the Unite IE Conservative Coalition and how we've come together as 20 groups and have managed to have a voice both here in California and Sacramento and also in Washington. We're seeing that we ought to do the same thing. In other words, to organize like the other side, the left has, and we need to be able to mobilize quickly. We were talking about this morning outside of the meeting room that had we had our ducks in a row all of us had a list of phone numbers when Tressie Capps put the piece out, we probably could have had several hundred people standing there that wanted to get in front of a mic and talk to these politicians, and I hate to say it, these bureaucrats, and we all know this. Everything they do, they call it a toll, that's a tax. They call it a fee, that's a tax. They call it inflation, that's a tax. You can usually find there's a pony in the room somewhere, and it's usually money, and it's usually our money. And again, U.S. taxpayers are the most widely discriminated group in the country. It's not Browns, Blacks, Jews, Catholics, or anybody else. It's U.S. taxpayers, and we're being had. And we've got to draw the line in the sand. And like you say, Paul, it only took 3% in the 1700s, and it doesn't take an army of millions. And I think we have a dedicated group of people here in California, and particularly in our area, and we're going to come out and we're going to disrupt this, their lives. They deserve
John,
it.
I'm very excited about this High Desert Conservative Coalition, and what it's going to do is it's going to strike fear into the politicians. And it's time for the politicians to be intimidated by the citizens and not the other way around. You know, I know when I first got involved in politics and spoke at a city council meeting, I was nervous. I was scared. You know, these guys are staring down at you, talking to you, and it's intimidating.
Yeah,
but
sure
now,
is.
No longer. I've gone from being the predator to becoming the prey. And I mean, the opposite. I was the prey. Now I'm the
You
predator.
Were the roadkill before, really.
And I'm looking to put some politicians' hides on my barn. And right now I'm involved in a battle at our school board where we have a horrible new school board member who's trying to get rid of school choice. And we're going to take him down. We're going to have a recall. And so that'll send a message that you don't mess with us. You know, we don't appreciate bad politicians. And here's how we inflict pain. You know, money is the big one, right? We can actually call the donors and let them know how Rep. Cook or Rep. Knight or whoever voted or did not vote to co-sponsor H.R. 25, you know, that this is an important issue. And when you start messing with their income stream, they start to listen. And,
yes.
You know, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm running a series of ads on Facebook targeting the districts of those two congressmen and letting
them
know.
Well, we know Cook, for example, and you're right, Paul. This young lady was down touting Congressman Cook at the Women's Federated luncheon the other day, and mm-hmm. I found a way to segue in with Pop Fox. I said, yeah, we happen to notice that Congressman Cook went ahead and he aligned himself with the administration, the SEIU, and the labor unions, and he opposed 240, H.R. 240. And, boy, I'll tell you, Raymond and Robin, boy, did they divert in 8 days. Did they get people going on that bill? And thank God. And
Well, yeah, if you embarrass them, you know, put out an ad in their district and, you know, let their constituents know, you know, chastising them for their stance on an issue, it gets their attention. And, you know, when I ran for Congress, Paul Cook was a supporter of the bailouts and, you know, Wall Street. And
right.
because he knows that I am a strong advocate for audit the Fed, just a couple months ago, he wound up co-sponsoring audit the Fed. So he's totally changed his tune on that. He's trying to immunize himself from me and become more like me. And that's what happens when you challenge a politician. They realize that in order to cut you off from your challenge, they have to become more like you. And so it's once again, you know, the motto of our discussion today, the extremes pull the middle. And so if you're out there making some noise, squeaky wheel gets the oil, people listen to you and they start to change. Otherwise, we fire them.
Yeah, Paul, if we could, you know, because we're about 20 minutes away from the end of this hour and a half, and it goes rather rapidly. I know we have callers around the state, and they're, you know, they're on board here, and I'm sure that they have some stories they can share with us or questions for you. If you don't mind, Bill Payne, how are we doing on the board there?
Well, it depends on whether you look at being behind or ahead, either way.
Do you have any callers with hands up?
Actually, we do. We have a number of hands up.
Maybe we can take them, get them on for a little while, and hear what they have to say.
Okie doke. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring on our good friend Kay Romo real quick. Clicking that little red button right there. Yes, Kay, can you hear us? Uh-oh. Her battery ran down.
Hello.
I was waiting for
Kay.
Maybe I got the wrong, maybe I'm guessing the wrong number. 240 exchange in the 760 area code.
That's me, Raul Rodriguez.
Oh, good.
Oh, right,
here's a champion for you, ladies and gentlemen, Raul Rodriguez.
Hey, folks, how you doing? I'm enjoying the program. This is the first time I've called in. And basically, I would just like to say that I was also involved with the Campaign for Liberty program, the class that we took, and along with Paul Hainish and John and Robert Newman and a few other people. I'd just like to say that we did learn quite a bit in that class by inflicting political pain so they can fear us and respect us. Now, talking about illegal immigration, we are going after these elected politicians who are not willing to do their job. They took an oath of office to do a job and represent the American people. And quite frankly, they're not doing that. So we are going after these politicians and people like Ricardo Lara, Luis Gutierrez, and anyone else who would like to join that group, that we're going to be going after them in a way that they are going to fear us. And we call them runners because they run away from us, from We the People Rising. And Robin and Raymond and all the people that are involved, it's a great group. And we just love we're going to take back America. And I have a slogan. I say, wake up, America. It's time to get off the couch and take our country back.
God bless you, Raul.
And
I'll tell you what.
And you're a good man. I've seen you in action, and I wouldn't want to be on your naughty list, that's for sure.
Amen to that. And I'll tell you what, we're gonna come at these politicians, Raul, on immigration, amnesty, Second Amendment rights, taxation, the whole Megillah, and we're Americans, damn it, and we're going to stand up. And we're going to show them how we can fight. We're tired, as Paul says. We played nice. We've been ladies and gentlemen, and they've walked on us like a welcome rug out in front of the door. They've drugged their feet across us, and they disrespect us as the people that run this government financially. And they better take heed. They're supposed to be stewards of taxpayer dollars. They're doing a very, very poor job of it, and we're going to hold them to the fire they're going to be accountable, and those that aren't doing their job better find another line of work.
Amen. You know, John, I was going to say, you know, about the county board of supervisors and the body politic at that level and pounding on them and stuff on immigration. I've been there, Rob and I have been there so many times. But I do have a Facebook video that probably got 100,000 views or more. And,
oh, sure.
You know, that's how you handle these people. You know, and the text of that is, I am an American. You know what I mean? And for anybody that wants to see that video, it's Raymond Herrera Facebook. Just look for the profile picture stopping the buses in Murrieta. And log on. You'll love it.
Amen. And I shared that thing with Raymond, probably 2 million people.
Awesome. Public opinion. Believe me, the American people.
It is public opinion. And at the end of the day, you know, we've seen enough of this divisiveness,
mm-hmm.
Trying to break us down through divisiveness. And at the end of the day, we're American patriots or we're not. The people in Congress, you know, they're either for income tax or they're not. They're either for securing our borders or they're not. They're either for giving amnesty to lawbreakers or they're not. These are yes and no questions. We're not idiots out here, the electorate, and they treat us like children, and all they want to do is take our money, tell us to shut up. They want to gag us. They don't want us to exercise our First Amendment rights. You guys were denied, barred by the California Highway Patrol in a meeting that was totally unconstitutional. And, you know, that should never happen in the United States of America. We've seen that happen over and over again. We've seen it happen in Washington, D.C. And the only way that Tea Party patriots ever got to assemble was because Congressman Steve King was there, and as a congressman, they could not deny the privilege for assembly. And you know, we're being attacked. Taxes,
yeah.
Free speech, Second Amendment rights. We're chiseling away at our rights every day, and we have no choice. The choices are the same as they were in the 1700s.
Yeah, John, to that note, let me interject this. You know, Madison believed in public opinion as the form of government, actually, the harness on, you know, the federal government. The public opinion would achieve government of the people, by the people, for the people. And the Federalists became the Democrats. You know, they're into the budget, you know, and raising, you know, the deficits and things of that nature, even back then to now. But Alexander Hamilton believed that the attachment to the government from the people would come from confidence in the government. In other words, the aristocrats would decide what's best for the people. And that as long as the people were being, you know, buttered, like, you know, Obama gets elected, everybody, you know, gets a toilet or a bathroom sink or a cell phone. As long as the people were being, you know, lured into a trap of, you know, confidence in government, not question the body politic. And, you know, today, 2015, look at Harry Reid and Pelosi. It's all about people shut up. You got confidence in your government is the best government on the face of the earth, and just be quiet. We'll decide what's best for you. Madison and Jefferson believed in public opinion, the voice, the will, and the mandate of the people to be the reins of government for the people.
Thank you for that. Bill, do we have anybody else on the line that we can get in on this call?
We sure do, and we're going to try to get them in. Let's see. Actually, I'm going to start taking them based on not their geographical location, but their how long they've been waiting. And first fellow I'm going to bring up is a hardworking man that is one of our regular listeners, Frank Gilbert. Are you there with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
We sure can, Frank. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on tonight. I really enjoy listening to Paul tonight. One problem we have here in Ohio is that we really don't have anybody at this point to run against people in Congress who are not meeting their constituent needs. And I wondered if you could speak to that, you know, what we could do. The other thing I want to say real quick is that on the 5 tonight, which is a Fox News channel show, Eric Boland gave a thumbs up to the fair tax. And I would encourage people to tweet him and tell him thanks and, you know, mention us some more.
You had a question about, John, did you get that question about people running for Congress in Ohio? I didn't quite catch that.
No, I didn't either. If you could repeat that, Frank, would appreciate
take
it.
Take your phone out from underneath the pillow there, Frank. You'd be all right.
Yes, Frank.
Well, I have a horrible phone. I'm sorry. we don't have...
Okay, I think I got the question. You don't have people to run for Congress. And so here's the issue. You know, here we are, a bunch of activists. We've created a team based on this training that we've all been to. You know, and if you're not creating, if nobody's following you, you're not a leader. You know, and you can't get the attention from the opposing side if you're alone. But they will care if you're leading others. And so when Raymond and Raul and Tressy and John get together and raise some havoc, people pay attention. If you're just one guy out there, you're not going to, you know, have a lot of attention. But so what you need to do is build a team out there in Ohio and encourage people to get active. They have to start small, you know, run for what we call the benchwarming seats of, you know, the nonpartisan school board or city council or county seats. You know, these are the things that you work your way up, you build your way up, and then eventually you run for the higher offices. But that's really where it's at. And, you know, the thing is we have to be willing to get outside of our comfort zone. And, you know, you don't have to run for office. You can cause pain on politicians and get them to do what you want. So don't worry about not having people to run. Even bad politicians, they're predictable. If you, you know, use the pain-pleasure principle and inflict pain until they give you what you want, then you can reward them, you know. Then you're going to be effective in politics. But don't accept excuses from the politicians. And don't reward them for doing what's expected of them. Only reward politicians for being a champion of your cause. And here's the deal. But in the few minutes we have remaining, I want to talk about the electoral process. And you need to be educated about this. This is really, really fascinating, and it's good news. You don't need to reach 100% of the people. That's why educating the public is kind of a lose situation. You know, what do you need to win? In American politics, you need 50% plus one. But here's the deal. Only 60% of the people are eligible to vote. Some are too young or they're, you know, a felon or whatever. And then of that 60% that are eligible to vote, only 40% are registered voters. So out of 100%, only 40% will actually, you know, have the opportunity to make a difference in an election. And here's the biggie. How many people vote on election day? John, do you remember the number, the percent of people that vote typically?
Oh, it was very, very small. And here in California, I'm glad you brought up the voting thing. Our big problem is we have most of the people that vote are either dead or they're here illegally.
Oh, that's a whole other issue. That's
a whole other issue. And when we get down to those people that are really bona fide U.S. citizens and registered voters, very, very small percentage turns out.
24% actually vote on election day. And here's the deal.
It really is.
Typically, you know, you got 8% Democrat, 8% Republican. You don't even have to worry about them. They're going to vote the party line.
Now,
here's the deal. So that's 16% out of 24%. So you got 10%. Now, of that 10%, you only need to sway 3% plus 1. So 11% of the vote of the voters will determine an election, and of that 11%, 3%, the swing vote, is all you need to win. So if you can target, and that's where we're talking about, you know, making a difference in elections and working smarter, not harder. You need to target the likely voters, and then you need to target those swing voters, the independent voters, and you can kick out a bad politician and get a good candidate in office. So once we start doing that and we start removing bad candidates, then we're on the road to success. And we're going to start doing that. We're organized. We have the voter list. We can start targeting people and getting the bums thrown out.
Well, Paul, that's good, and appreciate that. One of my interests, and I think probably Ray's and Robbins and some other folks listening, once we get them elected on the issues, I mean, Raymond gave a great talk this morning. I think we all did, and they either take the party line and they tell you, we got it all figured out, you guys. We know what's happening. Trust us, you know, the regular routine. And, you know, we come up with a common sense like, you know, we wouldn't need toll lanes. We wouldn't need the freeways we need if we got half the people that don't even live here. They're here illegally out. Our jails would not be overcrowded. Our highways would not be overcrowded. We would probably have a balanced budget, and we would not be in the red, but they don't want to hear that. And so, you know.
See, and that's a hot-button issue that you can push the toll roads or taxes. And
it's all money, isn't it?
To swing their vote to support the candidate that will protect our roads or support H.R. 25. And so you use that wedge issue to drive the candidates to either support your issue or to throw them out of office.
3 minutes and two callers with their hands up. What do you want to do, boss?
Go get them. Go get them. Let's get them on.
Okay. I recognize this one is Ken Smith. Are you with us, Ken?
I certainly am. Thank you, Bill, and I want to congratulate everybody on the call. This has been a very, very, very inspiring call. Paul, thank you for being on the call, and it was a pleasure meeting you in Sacramento. I have the question I have is, you know, we want to inflict pain on when it's needed. The question I have is, we have good Senator Ted Cruz, who's a great speaker. He's able to speak for a long time without a teleprompter. He actually can do that, and speaks very eloquently, and he is also a co-sponsor of the Senate bill for the fair tax. My concern is, how do we effectively give Ted Cruz pain while at the same time we want him to be on our side as far as the fair tax goes? But right now, he's doing some double talk, stating that he wants to abolish the IRS. At the same time, he's supporting a flat income tax. How do we handle that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. He's already co-sponsored H.R. 25. So he's on board with us. He's just a little confused. And so with someone like that, he's already a champion for our cause. He just needs to be educated. I think through outreach we can, you know, get him to drop this idea of the flat tax. And, you know, when I first talked to John Nobles, I was on board with the flat tax or the fair tax, but John made it clear to me that that was not a good option. And that's really now my biggest fear, is if we get someone to push the flat tax and the fair tax, then we got the worst of both worlds. We've got a national sales tax and a national income tax.
We don't want that, for sure.
So we need to make it clear to him that that's not a good option.
One more caller, Bill. Let's sneak him in and make it quick.
Okie dokie. I see this person here, one of my favorites, Nancy Kesey.
Oh, hi there, Bill. I'll be very quick. I just want to make sure tonight that anybody listening doesn't think you guys are out there packing guns and being incredibly disrespectful and all that kind of stuff that you might think, because everybody's very adamant about standing your ground according to your rights and your expectations of these various legislators out there at all different levels. So I just wanted to make sure that they fully understood that you are a persistent group. Maybe that's a better word for somebody to put in their mind, because you know what you can and cannot do, and you know how to come to that line. And but to stand your ground, and that's what you mean by they're fearing you, because they know you're going to get it out. You're going to challenge them. But you're challenging them intellectually and also by showing up or doing the variety of things that Paul was talking about. So that was my contribution. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy.
I agree
yes,
with that.
Thank you, Nancy. I want to thank everybody. Paul, of course, because you're always welcome on the show anytime. You always have things to say that are valuable to everybody. Ken, you're a prince. And I see some princesses out here as well. So, and also, Raymond, I got to tell you, when you nipped a little bit of political correctness in the bud the other day, I saw a video of you explaining exactly how to pronounce your name. I thought I'd fall off my chair. I think that's the greatest thing I heard all week. So hats off to you, sir. I'm going to mute some things here, and I'm going to play for everybody's benefit a 30-second commercial that was arranged by our friend Frank Wagoner. And Frank's paid for this and everything like that, so hope you enjoy this. Check us out at fairtaxtime.com for next week's show. I promise you we're going to have a really, really, really cool introduction next Wednesday night. So we hope to see you next Wednesday.
Tax day is just days away. This tax season, let's dump the income tax and replace it with the fair tax. It's a real bill in Congress called H.R. 25. When it passes, there'll be no more federal withholding from your paycheck. Instead, you'll pay your taxes when purchasing new goods or services. The prebate makes it progressive. The underground economy and those rich who shelter money will pay taxes. Tell Sam Farr you want the fair tax. Go to H.R. 25 fairtaxreview.com. Click on Pop Fox, then support this bill.